Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 20. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to see each one of you. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Our precious brother and sister from Indiana, God bless you. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. Psalms 20 reads, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of our God, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own counsel and fulfill all thy..." Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heavens with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Amen. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Almighty God, Father, you are the only person that we can truly trust. Your name is what we trust in, Lord. And when we call on that name, Lord, things begin to happen. So, Lord, we breathe the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over this congregation, Lord, over our brothers and sisters, Lord. We ask, Almighty God, that you'll move in the services where your people are gathered together in your name. And Father, may you anoint, Lord, the man of God standing in the pulpit to preach your anointed words with believing hearts, Lord. Lord, may the transforming power come in and transform our lives, Lord. Anything that's not like you, Lord, we ask that you encourage, Lord. Give us a creed in us, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us, Lord. Lord, as we humbly come before you, Lord, again, we want to redeem the time, Lord, seeing that the days are evil. We know that your coming is at hand. So bless now your people with wisdom and revelation, understanding of what you want done with your word. Lord, we commit this service into your hands, Lord. We ask, oh God, your blessings upon our pastor, Lord. Anoint him afresh, we pray. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give our God one more hand.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it.
Thank you.
sing with you. I don't know if everybody knows it or not. I remember my sister Capers sung it one time. So if you don't know it, I'd like to try and teach it to you. Just go ahead and play it up.
This is the evening time. It's later than you think. The bride is prepared.
Your hand, this is my confidence.
I'll see you.
Address, and we use this gift at John423.org on Cash App.
spiritual tea for those who desire to mail in their tithe and offering. The address is at the Father Spiritual Tabernacle, P.O. Box 222-462, West Palm Beach, Florida 33422. Let's bow our hearts. Almighty God, Father, we can't seem to get this song out of my system, Lord Jesus. You never lost a battle, you never will. We're so grateful, Lord, to be hidden under the shadows of your wing, Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost. And Father, as we come before you this morning, we bring our petitions before you. No doubt, each person here has a request upon their hearts, and we ask that you meet the needs of your children. Father, we pray for Andrew and his wife, Lord God, seeing how she has been afflicted by the enemy, Lord God. Father, if a prophet was here, he could trace things back all the way back like he did the young lady when you were young. You were frightened by a dog. Father, we don't know where it started, Lord God, but we know where it can end. So, Father, we come, Lord, as your children, asking, Lord God, for not only the healing of a body and a mind, but for a soul, Lord God. Save them, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will be merciful to them, Lord. Father, we see how late the hour is, Lord, and our hearts goes out to the people of the world, Lord, knowing, Lord God, that your wrath is at hand, Lord. So, Father, we just pray for mercy, Lord. Save, Lord, while there's still time, Lord, while there's still blood on the altar, Lord. Be merciful in this hour, Lord Jesus. Father, again, we just pray that you heal our brothers and sisters that are not here, Lord. So many have walked away. Father, we pray for them, Lord. Restore them, Lord Jesus. Be merciful, Father. It's our sincere prayer. Father, we turn our hearts, Lord, towards our giving, Lord, and we thank you, Father God, for blessing us in so many different ways, Lord. But we bring back in a monetary way, even as we offer our worship to you, Lord. Receive it, Lord, as we give it with thanksgiving, Lord. We bless your name, Lord, and we just ask that you continue to bless the remainder of the service. Again, touch our pastor, Lord, and have your way with this congregation. We'll be careful to give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you.
I speak to you.
control of me. I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. In the years I battled with depression and suicide, but God had great strongholds. So it doesn't matter what you're facing, it doesn't matter how real and how dark it feels, God shines through the shadows. He breaks addiction and He frees you. So this song speaks directly to my spirit, because I know that there are so many people who feel alone in their struggle with anxiety and depression and addiction and fear, but God is a healer. God is a deliverer. I know we're all praying for our family members, we're all praying for our loved ones to be saved, to be healed, to be set free, but God delivers. So if you speak Jesus over your family, you name each and every individual, you speak Jesus over them. You speak the name of Jesus over them. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Let's sing Shout Jesus from the mountains again. Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the street.
Shine.
sound of your heart. Speak about my problems and my situation. I speak Jesus. And he's the one that's able to change whatever I'm going through. Amen, 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 amen. I feel like we're in the presence of the Lord. We come to church and don't feel his presence. And what is our use? We come into church, we want to feel his presence. This morning while we were in prayer, just seeking the Lord and said, Lord, it just wouldn't be worth it to come if you weren't here. I'm just so happy to know that he's here this morning. Whatever you have need of, God is able to give to you. Amen. We appreciate, amen, his anointing. The Lord that breaks and destroys yokes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, even atmospheres like this are created. Sometimes we get, I guess, sometimes used to it. But there are people that are streaming that, amen, they feel this atmosphere coming to their homes, and things begin to change, their situations and their circumstances. And, you know, we had a sister recently that was healed of a growth that was half growing in her nose, but she entered into a song because she began to worship the Lord in song. God brought healing to her body. And I want to tell you something. If you just enter in sometime into the worship of a song, God can bring healing, God can bring deliverance, God can bring freedom, whatever you need, God can bring it to you tonight, this morning. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Don't take his presence lightly. Dora was just kind of sharing her own personal testimony there. There's many, you know, the spirit of suicide despite every. Just about everybody. You know, it's a spirit that is certainly in the land today. Amen. Especially with our young people, they have to fight it all the time. And, you know, we thank God for giving them power, amen, and victory in these areas. Amen. We really thank God for giving them that. Amen. Speak Jesus. Speak Jesus. Speak Jesus. Speak Jesus. Glory to God. I speak Jesus. Jesus to my son. Speak Jesus to my boy. I speak Jesus to my mom. I speak Jesus to my father. I speak Jesus to my brother. I speak Jesus to my sister. I speak Jesus. Great and strong, shut through the shadows.
Shadows, yes. Burn light in the fire. Jesus. For Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your mighty presence. We thank you that strongholds are being broken, God, in the midst of an atmosphere like this. Thank you that you're changing us from the inside, and that will reflect itself on the outside. Father, we just appreciate coming here and, amen, being in, amen, your midst. You told us in your word that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst. And God, you have fulfilled your word again this morning. Thank you for the songs of Zion that have gone forth. Amen. The songs to lead us in worship, the songs, the specials, Father, and just everything that's been done thus far in your name. We know, God, that change is taking place. Amen. Father, the people are being healed in their minds and their spirits. They're being healed through the power of the song. God, as we prepare to enter into the word, we pray that you continue the work that you've already begun. Lord, bring healing to the soul. Bring healing to the mind through the word of God. Father, be glorified and magnified and exalted in this place. We trust, Lord, that you'll have your way, Father. Lord, hide us all behind the cross. Don't let us be seen, but may Christ be on display today. Touch those that are not able to be with us. God, you know exactly what they're going through in their bodies. Ask that you would touch them, and God, that you just bring deliverance to them in whatever way they need, God. We give you the praise, the honor, the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's give the Lord another hand of praise. So good to be back in the house of the Lord, amen, on this this Sunday morning. Good to have Brother and Sister Houchin with us, amen, from Indiana. I have to publicly thank them. They have been very, very instrumental in just providing a place for my daughter to stay when she goes up to visit Brother Aaron. And they have opened up their home to her. And we just really, really appreciate it. Amen. Amen. A hotel coffee thing like that. She just had a room that she could go to. And they've just been, you know, just so wonderful throughout this entire journey. And we thank God for them. And I really, really thank God. I pray God will just return all the blessings to you. Amen. You have been a blessing to us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm running a little out of time, and I just got something in my heart that I want to share. Amen. On today, and you know, we will just read a couple of scriptures, and you know, we certainly just I want to thank everybody for coming and supporting my daughter yesterday. Amen. She's doing all her things, getting ready, you know, and so many brought gifts and just her presence and just being a part of this event. Very special, amen, for us, amen, to see Rebecca go through this and just see just the blessings that have just overtaken her, amen, during the season. And I mean, after, Sister Cherise, the song she sung, I'm like, how are they going to do anything? And then just cut, just stop, stop everything. And then she go forward, and I'm like, Lord have mercy, just deeper, deeper, deeper. Like, we're going to miss Rebecca.
Oh, yeah. We're going to miss her.
Let's see if Sister Das can play that song that Sister Cherise was playing. Now, we're going to need that. You know, we're going to need this anointing just kind of flowing like this. And I would just appreciate and praise the Lord, amen, for all things. Here, I want to read, amen, John 15 and John 4. We're going to read from, amen, today. Praise the Lord. Amen, John 15 and John 4. Amen. Here in John 15, verse 1 says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Glory. And men gather them, the withered ones, men gather them and cast them in the fire. But if you're still connected, you can't be cast into fire. But once you get disconnected, you become a candidate for fire. So if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Yes, that's exactly what it says. The words of Jesus. But there's a key to this. You can't pray these kind of prayers if you're not abiding.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You got to have a testimony like Hezekiah. Yeah. God, I did this. God, I followed your word. God, I stayed true. God, I did this. I'm not ready for this, God. And God sent the prophet back to his house and pronounced 15 more years of life. But he wasn't promising God what he was going to do. He was telling God what he'd already done. Amen. You got to have a testimony of what you've already done, not what you're going to do. Amen. You don't want to have jailhouse religion today. Everybody gets saved in jail. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Let's go over here to John 4. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just read verse 23 and 24. Amen. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, glory to God, no other options, must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Lord had a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to get started on a journey today, which I know I won't be able to complete. But nonetheless, we will get started. Our title today is Spirit and Truth 2.0. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you probably say, well, that's a very strange title, Brother Jack.
Yeah.
But the Lord just kind of gave it to me because, amen, this particular year, we're celebrating 20 years of ministry. Amen. The Lord has been good. The Lord has been good. Amen. You know, there so many stats of churches that get started, amen, and you know, within 1 or 2 years they have to fold up because they're just not able to sustain. But you know, I was kind of going back on a journey, you know, just myself this morning. You know, we started there in our home, my wife and my three daughters, amen, started in our home. And I think within the first year, it might have been five of us that was gathering. And from that five, we decided to leave our living room and go to this place in Green Acres, and start the church. And man, I think when we got there, we were paying probably about $1,800 a month with just very few people. But for 5 years, God sustained us, amen, during that time. And he helped us be able to do that. And then, you know, we moved from there to the other location just right around the corner. Our rent doubled, you know, to roughly $3,500 a month. And just a few of us, but God sustained us for, I want to say 13 years or something like that, that he sustained us over there. And now we've come to this next season, amen, of our journey. And we find ourselves here, and we're just under expectation of what God has in store. For every door that he has closed, he has also opened. Praise God. Wait for him to open, amen, the doors. But so this the Spirit of Truth 2.0 is really talking about Spirit of Truth 20 years. That's really what it is. But we'll just kind of play with this 2.0, if you don't mind, just for a little bit. I want to read, amen, from the Church Age book, The Resume of the Ages, a couple quotes here that I want to read to you. And I pray the Lord just bless our time together. Here in the Resume of the Ages, the prophet makes a statement, says, so we conclude the seven church ages, saying only what the Spirit said to each age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. And I love this. He says, I sincerely believe that the Spirit of God has been speaking to us. Glory to God. Amen. Not only teaching us the truths of the ages, but he has been faithfully dealing with hearts that they may turn to him. Amen. God has been faithfully dealing with hearts that they may turn to him. You know, let me just keep reading this. It'll kind of give you a part of my vision. Amen. Even from when I started the ministry. It says that the ministry was not designed to bring people to Brother Jack.
Right.
Amen. Glory. Amen. The ministry was designed to bring people to Christ. And my hope and my desire is to see people's hearts turn to Christ. Because one day when Brother Jack is off the scene, you still got to be following Christ. Amen. You still want to be serving Christ. All right. He says, that is the reason for all preaching. Glory and teaching. For it is in the preaching and teaching of the word that the sheep. Glory, hallelujah. And I need you to understand this. Only sheep will hear the voice of God and follow him. A goat might hear his voice, but a goat won't follow. A goat will reject what the shepherd is, amen, trying to give him. Amen, but sheep will hear the voice and they will follow. And notice now, amen, that the voice of the shepherd, the voice of the chief shepherd is coming through the under shepherd.
Yes. All right.
The voice of the chief shepherd is coming through the under shepherd. And it's not for you to follow the under shepherd, it's for you to follow the chief shepherd.
Amen.
That's the purpose of the ministry. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, he goes and says, not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me, or join my church, or start some fellowship in the organization. I have never done that and will not do that now. I have no interest in those things. I want to just piggyback on some of this because, you know, over the years, amen, these 20 years, I can stand here and I believe I can say this without any without some dishonesty or whatever in it. I have not try to, what do you call that word? Proselyte anybody in here. Come on, somebody. You come here because God placed you here. But it wasn't because Brother Jack was coming to your house trying to talk to you on the side. Amen. Calling you on the phone and sending you text message. Glory to God. That ain't what happened. Amen. There was a couple sisters that joined this fellowship some years ago, and they thought that I set them up. Amen. And then we were going to a meeting. And they wanted to go to the meeting. Hallelujah. And I said, you know what? You can take my car. Glory to God. I said, okay, well, we're giving you a car. We'll come to the meeting. And they got into the car, and the music began to play, and they heard a song that was playing, and they thought, did Brother Jack put it right there on that spot? Amen. Did he set me? I said, no, that was just God did that. But they got to a song, and the song said, it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. And I can tell you that this morning, for 20 years, it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. But I was not proselyting anybody. I let everybody come to their own personal decision. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Because we're not trying to establish this on Brother Jack. Amen. Amen. We're establishing this on Christ.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Brother Branham goes on to say this, says, I have never done that and will not do that now. I have no interest in those things, but I do have an interest in the things of God and people. And if I can accomplish just one thing, I'll be satisfied. That one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and men. Hallelujah. Wherein men become new creations in Christ, filled with his spirit, and live according to his word. It says, I would invite, plead, and warn all to hear his voice at this time and yield your lives completely to him, even as I trust in my heart that I have given my all to him. God bless you, and may his coming rejoice your heart. I mean, this is, when we talk about our vision, amen, of the church, this is our vision, amen, that we want to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and men. Not people coming because of personality. That's not what this is all about. But we want to see a true relationship between you and God.
Amen.
And through the preaching and through the teaching of the word of God that goes forth at this pulpit,
amen,
we want to see establish a true relationship between you and God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's been the objective. Yeah. Now, you know, in order to get that accomplished, sometimes you have to say things that hurt people's feelings.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. You have to make decisions that people don't agree with.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. You know, a pastor get questioned all the time. Why this? Why that? Why this? You know, sometimes you just got to follow. Amen. You just got to follow. Don't try to lead. Just follow.
Right.
Amen. Because you don't know why a decision's being made.
That's
souls
right.
are at stake.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, glory to God. I might know something, and I can come out here and just hit it. But as I hit it, am I helping you or hurting you?
Right.
Don't think it. Don't think I don't know it. Yes, I know it, but right now might not be the time to say it.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I got some wisdom from an elderly pastor some years ago. I'll talk about him a little bit later, maybe. But he was telling me, he said, you know what? Sometimes things don't happen in the church, and you don't want to just be all over it. He says, but you need to learn how to just be patient. Don't say nothing. Just wait it out. He said, then God will just allow that thing to be exposed, and he ain't got nothing to do with it.
All right.
Amen.
I say, what wisdom from a man of God to depart that, impart that in me. So I've learned to just kind of do that. Just wait sometimes. Don't attack everything you see.
Yes.
Don't attack it. Amen. God got it under control.
Amen.
It's going to come a time and it's going to come a place, amen, where that thing will be dealt with.
Amen.
But right now, just don't worry about it.
Amen.
Sometimes you attack in one person, you don't realize you're affecting so many others.
Amen.
The rest of the church is suffering because of your attack.
Amen.
Just wait on the Lord. Woo, glory.
Amen.
All right. Let me keep going. Here, amen, in the message, why? Brother Randall makes the statement here. It says, now, we realize that we haven't got the tinsel on the meetings that we did at the first time. He says, usually a revival breaks out, and it lasts, according to history, about 3 years. It says, a minister usually gives his best in 3 years. And after that, he lives on his reputation.
Wow.
So the first 3 years, I was giving my best.
And then the last 17 years living on a reputation. Now, if many of you that might not know, but when we were the first 3 years of the ministry, I never went anywhere. You know, I never went to other churches, maybe like Brother Smiley or whatever. That's the only place I would go to preach, but I never went anywhere. For 10 years, I stayed put. And you know, and the very first time, hallelujah, that I got invited to go overseas to preach, glory to God, I was invited to go to a meeting in London, England. Amen. And just before the meeting, Brother Whisper Grinner happened to come here and preach for Brother Wesco. Right. And he was preaching, so I just kind of made my way up to him and said, God bless you, brother. So good to meet you and, you know, really enjoying your ministry and everything. I say, you know a brother by the name of Brother Archie? He says, yeah, I know Brother Archie. I say, yeah, he invited me to come over and speak at his meeting there at Easter time, and I'm going to be there in England. He said, well, they're going to be hosting a meeting at my church. And you know, his church at the time was a school. And they had the meetings in a school. And my very first time that I went out, amen, went out there to minister the very first international meeting as far as preaching. Amen. I went there and the Lord just did supernatural things on that meeting. Oh, hallelujah. I'm already lost. But at that meeting, amen, as we were on our way to the airport, we got there and you know, we thought that we would fly from here to Detroit. From Detroit, we're going on across to England. And I said, well, so it's more a national before it become international. It's going to be within the States. We don't have to get to the airport that early. We got there about 45 minutes before the plane was leaving. Well, we got there and pulled on our luggage out and got into the line. The lady said, no, y'all don't be able to get on this plane. I said, what? I said, we done paid all this money. She said, no, y'all can't get on this plane. I said, it's more than enough time to get down to the gate. It's just Palm Beach. You know, we can get on. No, y'all didn't get on this plane. She said, y'all got to book and go somewhere. I said, no, we can't do that. We can't book nowhere else. We got to get on this one. So, you know, my wife got to talking to him. Y'all know my wife. And she got to talking to him. That lady would not budge. And mama was on the plane. I think Sister Brown or somebody else was already on the plane. And they would call and say, hey, we waiting on y'all. So they won't let us on. Y'all just pray. So we're sitting there, and you know, as we're waiting, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord just began. I got quiet before the Lord. I stopped arguing with that lady. Hallelujah, praise God. Some of y'all need to stop arguing with some folks and get quiet before the Lord. I stopped arguing, I got quiet before the Lord. And when I got quiet, then I heard the Spirit of God start speaking down to my inner man. And God says that now the same God, amen, that stopped the plane for a woman in Memphis, Tennessee, is the same God that can stop a plane for you right here in West Palm Beach, Florida. And as God began to speak that to my heart, amen, I didn't just let it stay in my heart. I released something from my mouth. I said, the same God that stopped the plane in Memphis, Tennessee is the same God that can stop the plane in West Palm Beach. I told my wife, just what the Lord has spoke to me. We sat there, we waited, and here the gate are closed. The plane is sealed up, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're waiting, and the plane won't go nowhere. Hallelujah. Plane won't go anywhere. And next thing you know, the lady from the gate come running up to say, we can get y'all on the plane. We can get y'all on the plane. I say, uh-huh. Okay. Glory to God. Yeah, I mean, the same God did it for the woman in Memphis, Tennessee. The same God did it for us on our first trip out of the United States to preach to God. Uh-huh. So I've been out to sing, but this time to go preach. And here, you know, they rushed us down, got us on the plane, and they told everybody on the plane we got some international travelers that was running late, so we just held up the plane for them. And here we jump on the plane, everybody looking at us strange. Right? But it wasn't the international travelers that was running late. It was God. Yeah. Held that plane on the ground. Yeah. We seen the supernatural God. Yeah. And I went there and we preached the sermon, Phoenix. And I waited till, I think I was one of the last ones to preach, but I waited for a whole week holding that testimony. And then I finally released it and shared it there. And one of the brothers, Brother Guy Bo, I'll never forget him. He was our tour guide. And man, he took off running from the back of the school all the way to the front of school. Glory to God. Amen, brother. Because it was just proof that he was the same yesterday.
Amen.
Amen. So the first 3 years, if you don't know by now, the reputation that this church was built on was the word.
Yeah.
And we've still been doing the same thing the first 3 years. That when we started out the first three years, we're still doing that. We teach on Wednesday nights.
Amen.
We teach the word of God.
Yes.
We bring you a Bible so you can understand what that scripture saying.
Amen.
And we're going to tie it in with what the message says so you got clarity.
Amen.
Glory to God. And when you talk the word of God, it settles you.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And what I've seen here is a lot of the saints get settled in the word. But you got to be committed to God.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. If you really want to grow, you say you want to grow.
Yeah.
Well, come to church on Wednesday night.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on. Amen. But the church was built upon that foundation.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Let me go on a little further here. A minister usually gives his best.
Uh-huh.
In 3 years, after that, he lives on his reputation
uh-huh.
of what he made in those 3 years. He says, I'm so glad I placed mine upon the word, that's right, so I can live by the word.
Amen.
He says, I just believe this blessed little Bible. I just think it's the grandest thing. And it is God, the word is God in letter form, and when the Holy Spirit lines up on it, it just brings it to life. All right. Amen. So here, let me, I just kind of did a little something. We're celebrating 20 years, and I'm trying to just watch my time here. I just went through the scripture and just got 7 scriptures. And I won't read them all today, but what we found that verse 20, or we might have found chapter 20. And we found 7 scriptures that we just want to kind of present to you today. Is that all right?
Amen.
The first one, Ephesians 3:20. Glory to God. Now unto him.
Amen.
Glory that is able
Amen.
To do exceeding abundantly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Above all that we can ask or think. And when I look back over my life and I think things over, hallelujah, I can truly say that I've been blessed these 20 years. God has done the exceeding abundance. I'm here to tell you above all I can ask or even think. Hallelujah. Glory to God, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen, church. Hallelujah, I'm a living witness that God has done exactly what he said he's going to do. I didn't think I'd be full-time in ministry. I thought I'd be still working right now. Amen, a full-time job plus doing full-time, in ministry. But God saw fit to do other things. Back in England again. I went for a few years ago for another Easter meeting. I had a job, and I went to Tulsa, and they said, now, we need everybody here for Easter. All employees got to be here for Easter. I say, oh, Lord, brother, whisper that, invited me again to England. So I can't be here to work. I went and told my boss, I said, look, I've been invited to go preach in England, so I won't be here at Easter. I need your permission to take time off. He said, I can't give you that permission. I'm going to have to ask my boss. I said, okay, go ask your boss. So they finally asked, and he come back, okay, you can have the time off. They said, it's okay for you to have the time off. Then he looked in my eye. He said, why do they want you?
All right. Yes.
So what is it about you? Why do they want you? I looked at him. I said, well, they were looking for a preacher. And they also wanted a preacher that also could sing. That's what the pastor said. He wanted 2 preachers that could preach and sing.
Because
he wanted to do some worship. That's what his vision was. So I just happened to be one of those preachers that can sing and preach. Well, why? Well, I can go, right? See y'all on the other side of Easter. And I took off and went over there, and when I got back, events began to happen. Next thing you know, I was out of a job. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember sitting there, you know, they invited me to lunch. My boss and his boss said, can you go to lunch? Text me, can you go to lunch with us today? Yeah, sure, I'll be happy to go to lunch. Mm-hmm. And when I went and sat down at the table, I noticed that I was sitting on one side and they were sitting on the other side. No, nobody's sitting next to me. Hey, that's right. When I saw that, I already knew this is not going to be a good conversation. Hallelujah. And then they just began to, you know, order and talk. And then I said, okay, I'm just waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it. And they said, well, my boss said, now, we've been waiting for a while and to see if you would want to go full-time in ministry with us. I said, no, that ain't what God told me. God gave me a church. It's like having a baby. You don't give up your baby like that.
Right.
I said, no, I can't do it like that. You know, I got to raise the baby.
I can't do that.
I gotta preach myself.
So he says, well, you know, how many people in the church? I said, about 50 of us. He said, is your church ready for you to go full-time in ministry? I said, oh, I don't know if my church is ready for me to go full-time in ministry. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know about that. And he going on and going, he said, well, you know, try to put some pressure on me. And say, because if your church ain't ready, then we could take you.
Right.
You know, I'm like, well, now, you know, that ain't what God told me to do. I'm going to stay with this. So he said, well, you think your church ready? I said, no, I don't know if my church ready. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if they're ready. I said, but my God.
All right. Yeah.
I learned from Paul Roberts. He says the church, amen, is just a resource.
Right.
But God. It's a supplier.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. So my God was ready for me to go full time. And I'm telling you, ever since that day to right now, I can testify that God has done the exceeding, the abundant, above all I could ask or think. Not only in my life, but I watched them do it in your life. Your businesses have been blessed.
First day she go full time and get another bonus.
Amen.
Amen. That's exceedingly abundant.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Ooh.
Amen.
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 Revelation 3:20. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm trying to get through this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Here in this message, doors and door. Brother Randall makes a statement, says, I stand at the door, said Jesus in this Laodicean age, and knock. Did you notice the only church age that he was put out of his church? All the other church ages, he was inside the church. Through the Methodists and Lutherans and so forth, he was on the inside church. But here he is outside. Our creeds and things had run him out of the church, but he is standing out there still knocking. He that will hear and open the door, I'll come in with him, sup with him.
and give him healing for his eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And clothes. God want to give you clothes. Amen. And give him the riches of heaven. Oh, if you'll just open the door to Christ, he will give you the riches of heaven. Brother, the banks may run out of money, but heaven will never run out of money. And I got a good news for you. God said for every promise that he's made to you, he will bankrupt the heavens before that promise fails. Believe God for your faith. Believe God for your healing. Believe God for your deliverance. Speak Jesus over every situation. Glory to God. Amen. I'll give him the riches of heaven. He that will hear me knock.
Amen.
I thought I could think of the name of the artist that drew that picture. Painted a picture rather at that door. You know, the great pictures first must go through the line of the Hall of Critics before it can be hung in the Hall of Fame. That original painting now will run millions of dollars. Now, let me just, you know, quickly inject here before I go further in that quote. Brother Randall talking about the artist that painted a picture, and it was Christ standing, amen, on the outside knocking on the door, and there was no doorknob to go inside the house. So the critics began to criticize and say, hey, you know, why the door have no doorknob? He says, oh, that is, it's put that way for a reason. He said, why? He said, because you have to, the doorknob is on the inside. And you have to be the one to open up the door to allow him to come in.
That's right.
I encourage somebody, open up the door and let Jesus in. Hey, won't you let him in? Won't you let him in? Oh, my. I have your window. Open up. And he told him, now Jesus, I'm going to give you room. I'm going to give you a room, but stay here in your room. Don't come out. Stay right here in this room. Don't come out of this spot. He said, okay, all right. If that's the only place you'll give me, I'll take that little spot. So Jesus went upstairs and stayed in the room. And later on that night, the devil came knocking on the door. Man opened the door. The devil ran in the house and whooped them up real good. Say, I mean, stuff tumbling all over the living room and everything. And then the devil beat them real bad and then took off. And then the next morning, the man, I saw Jesus come. He said, now, Jesus, did you hear all that noise? How come you didn't come down and help me? He said, because you told me to stay up here inside this room. If you would have gave me access to the whole house, then I could have put, amen, I could have put that devil to flight. You got to open the door and let me in. Let me have access all over the house. If I want to go to the kitchen, let me go in the kitchen. If I want to open the refrigerator, let me open the refrigerator. If I want to sit in the living room, let me sit in the living room. If I want to go into your bedroom, let me in your bedroom. Open up and let me in. All great pictures first must go through the line of the Hall of Critics before it can be hung in the Hall of Fame. That original painting now would run millions of dollars. But see, it's like the church. The church has to pass through the Hall of Critics. For 20 years,
amen.
We have passed through the Hall of Critics. Amen. Initially, somebody say this was a family church. You got to watch that. Y'all got to watch that. I want to let y'all in on something. You know, the first gathering of people by God underneath the tent, God established a tabernacle. So y'all come here. This is where I'm going to meet y'all, and we're going to worship here. And he set the tribes around this tabernacle, gave them an outer court, an inner court, and the most holy place and things like that. He established that. So now you realize when that was established amongst a family. You realize the 12 tribes of Israel were actually 12 brothers. Right?
So when you hear people criticize, it's just a family church. Yeah, the family of God. It's the family of God that has come together. From every walk of life, we come together for a purpose to draw closer to Jesus.
Amen.
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 But you see, it's like the church, he has a pastor to all the critics we go through. You're going to be called holy roller. Yep. You're going to be called everything, but if you could only hold your position.
Yes, my God. Amen.
Yes. 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 Yeah, I've been called all kind of stuff.
Yes. That's right.
Amen. One of the sisters, remember, I was on the phone one night, just, you know, it was a funeral that we were getting ready to do, and they asked me to, you know, just kind of conduct things, so I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And while I'm on the phone, just kind of talking things over with the family, didn't know somebody's sequel was on the phone listening. And when they heard me just kind of set things up, they said, this ain't nothing but a devil. My God, I've been called a devil. I must be doing something right if I've been called a devil, because my Lord and Savior was also called Beelzebub. So when you get called something that you know you're not, you got to hold your position. They said this about me, hold your position. They did this, hold your position. Glory to God, hold your position in Christ. Then someday he'll take us to the Hall of Fame. But first we got to stand criticism. There is where the littleness of us stand, there is where it shows. He that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child and not a child of God. No matter how much he's joined church or whatever he's done, he is still, if he cannot stand chastisement, he's an illegitimate and he's not a real child of God. But a real, genuine child of God don't care what the world says. Everything else is secondary. He's got his mind on Christ, and that settles it. Yes, whatever Christ says, do, he'll do it. Wherever the Lamb goes, they're with him. Wherever, and then you see his appearing, his presence, and what he does, he is always with his people, his bride. He is courting her.
Amen.
Someday they're going to be in a wedding supper.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen, sir.
Give you one more scripture. Amen, at least for the day. I got 7, so I told you I'm going to get started, and I'm going to come back. One more scripture, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Mm-hmm. Believe his prophets.
Mm-hmm. Oh my.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my.
So shall you prosper.
Amen.
So if you believe in the Lord your God, you'll be established.
Yeah.
But if you believe his prophets, you'll prosper.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm looking at a church full of people that believe his prophets and has prospered. Amen. 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 So here in this message, a greater than Solomon is here. Brother Branham makes a statement. Oh my, church, we built this church. And I remember, let me go back a little bit now. All these things are starting to come to me. But when we first established the church, amen, there was a older mother. She was my wife's friend. It was her grandmother. And the grandmother had been an old-time Pentecostal, still wearing the skirts, even though the church went to pants.
Uh-huh.
That old-time grandmother was still wearing her skirts.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. She wasn't changed because they were changed.
Right.
And grandmother, because of the changes that she saw in the church, she sent word to me. And she says, because she knew that we also were holiness people, that we wore our skirts. She saw that in my wife all the time, skirts and dresses. Said, yeah, this is holiness people here. She knew that. So she say, tell Jack that whatever he start preaching,
don't change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Grandma said it. Because grandma got tired of seeing all the changes in church. She said, whatever you start preaching, don't change. And for 20 years,
amen,
we haven't changed.
Amen.
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 Woo, glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Believe as prophets and so shall you prosper. Here, Brother Ram says, so we realize, and now I'm going to keep you. Says, I'm not going to keep you like I did last night if I could possibly help it. Friends, I only speak by inspiration and can only say as he says, say. And that's how it takes me a long time sometimes. I want you to notice that God in all generations, all down through the Bible, he's always had his time when he sent his signs, wonders, and gifts amongst the people. And so that in the great general resurrection, he could be just. Now the reason God sends a gift amongst the people is so that at the resurrection, God can be just. Look at this now. He says, so the great general resurrection, he can be just, for he can stand a man. Oh, glory to God. God can actually stand a man. It says, don't you try to deny it then, for he stands the person that he spoke to you through. And you're without excuse. I want you to get that. I don't want to just read over that. So in this generation, God sent a prophet.
Yes,
and then at the end, when God, in order for him to justify himself in his own court, glory to God. Can you say, God, you didn't do this, and God, you didn't? No. I was standing a man before you. And what you going to do, those that say Brother Brandon was not the prophet, what you going to do when God stands here before the whole generation and say, this is the one that I spoke through? But you refuse to listen to him. God will stand justified, you stand condemned.
Amen.
And what about a church that he sends you to that picks up what the prophet said and preaches it back to you? God will stand me before you.
Yeah, Lord.
He preached it.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
What you gonna do then?
Right. Amen.
So you can do things now and get away with it and think you're getting away with it, but you gotta realize you're gonna leave this world one day.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Amen.
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 I pray. Don't sit here and go to hell.
Amen.
Don't do that.
Amen.
Not here.
Amen.
If you really want to go to hell, go somewhere else. There's many churches out there, they preach and they know they're going to hell. But here we're trying to go to heaven.
Amen.
That's why we live the way we live.
Amen.
That's why we act the way we act.
Amen.
That's why we dress the way we dress.
Amen.
We trying to go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of the stuff we have, you think you're going to have that in heaven? You really think you're going to have that in heaven? You want to have it there?
Amen.
Amen. I told y'all a few weeks ago, I said, look, I ain't going to stop nobody from coming to church. You can come to church however you want to. I don't care. You want to come in here with pants? Come. I'm giving you my permission. Come on. But I will tell you this also. You ain't going to heaven like that.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to come to church like that? Fine. But you ain't going to heaven like
Amen.
That.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let me go on. He says, he's always had his time that when he sent his signs, wonders, and gifts amongst the people, and so that in the great general resurrection, he could be just. But you can stand a man here. Don't try to deny it then. For here he stands. Here stands the person that he spoke to you through. And you without excuse. What he said about the queen there, you know. See, the queen of Sheba was the one that God used to judge the entire generation. Because she would go after the truth. And she would go through great extremes to get to the truth. That lady went for a 90-day journey on the back of a camel to get to Solomon's church.
Right.
90 days on the back of a camel. And think about it, Brother Graham said she had all kinds of inconveniences.
Right.
In the desert.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm a B plane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a B plane. And y'all excuse me for being plain. I don't talk like this too much. But a woman in the desert on the back of a on the back of the camel,
come on.
Where's she gonna go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
I mean a man, if he, you know, whatever he gotta do, huh? Find him a tree, and he's good. Sometimes you don't need a tree, you get a rock. That man is good.
Right.
But what about a woman?
Right.
And I mean, women think about everything before they travel.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. Y'all ain't talking.
Yeah.
They think about all kinds of glory to God. Women think about everything. Everywhere they go, they think about everything.
Right.
What's the bathroom situation
right.
like?
situation a little different. I'm a whole different. But a brother, brother, porta potty. She pressed her way into the presence of Solomon. She wanted to hear the wisdom of God coming forth from this man. And because she pressed her way into service, God would use her to judge every other person that was living in that generation. Every time Brother Capers and Sister Capers get in the car coming here driving at 80 and 79 years old, they think judgment. The others that won't even come 5 minutes or 10 minutes down the road. God will just stand them up there. They just, you know how they just smiling all the time. They'll be smiling on that day of judgment. No, I ain't got nothing to do with it now. Now, and any time that God ever sent a gift to the world and the people received it, it was a golden age for them. But when they rejected it, they went into chaos. And we see this. People that have rejected this word, their lives go into chaos. And I ain't seen one been able to withstand it. One able to keep a holding and standing. Their lives go into chaos. He says, in disaster and into punishment. Now, this is the results for rejecting the word. Let me make sure you get it.
All right, come on.
When they rejected, they went into chaos, disaster, and finally, judgment.
Come on.
Into punishment. Says, now you Bible historians just speak when one time that they ever rejected God's gifts and signs and they ever prospered. One time when they were going to battle, God spoke to them, if you wish to prosper, glory, do my prophets no harm, believe my prophets if you want to prosper. Well, now, we know that if this United States of America would accept the gift of God that sent to it, which out of America has went evangelists and missionaries and started a healing revival worldwide, as the angel of the Lord 31 years ago spoke down there at the river when that light pillar of fire hung there, and a papers packed it, mystic light appeared over local Baptist minister, a boy while baptizing 500 at the Ohio River, and he said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, this message, glory, amen, shall forerun the second. Here we are. Has it did it? See, from there it sparked. Oral Roberts, Tommy Hicks, the Osborne, and so forth, around and around the world they went. See, it did it. Amen. Notice now, if America received God's gift, it would be a golden age for us. And I'm going to tell you this. If you receive God's prophet, it'll be a golden age for you. Spiritually, it'll be golden.
Amen.
Physically, it'll be golden.
Amen.
Financially, it'll be golden.
Amen.
Materially, it'll be golden.
Amen.
I speak that over you.
Amen.
If you receive it.
Yes.
Amen. If all of the American churches would accept God's gift, what is God's gift to the church? The Holy Ghost. Amen. What if all the American people that believe in Christ would receive the Holy Ghost? They wouldn't have to wonder who's going to be in the Sputnik or who's going to be in a machine 180 miles around. That church would be in glory before they could get a Sputnik started. That's right.
Amen.
Believe his prophets, you prosper.
Amen.
Spirit of Truth 2.0.
Amen.
Why 2.0? Anytime you work with computers, all y'all got telephones, amen, cell phones, and all of you all have to go through what we call updates.
Right.
Everybody go through that.
Right.
Your phone won't work
right.
if it does not accept the update.
Right.
You know, why my phone not doing it? And then you call the contact support to say, just select update. You know, make sure your phone does the update. Some of us got updates that have been sitting, waiting for years to be released. An update trying to do something for you, something better for you, but you just won't click on update.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Your phone's slowing down, and you think it's a phone. No, it's an update. You need to do the update. Right? And the reason that we got 2.0 is when we move into 20 years, this is an update time for Spirit and Truth.
All
right. Amen. What is an update? An update is new, improved, fixed
software. It replaces older versions of the same software. And so they say this, for example, updating your operating system brings it up to date with the latest driver, system, utilities, and security software. Updates are often provided by the software publisher, and it's free of charge when you select an update. Amen. Now, if you've got a computer at home and you run on Windows, Windows always has updates. For the Mac computer, they used to do almost, well, they do updates, but they do a major upgrade once a year. All right. So I was just talking to some of the brothers, amen, about this. I said, you know, why? You know, they work in IT, and I used to work in IT. But why do you have to do an update? So Brother Quentin Jr., amen, the solutions architect, praise God. He told me, say, the reason that you have to do an update is for improvements.
Right.
Amen. God wants to improve what we're doing. We're grateful for what has happened, but God wants to improve what we're doing, so He sends an update.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now look, when the update comes, don't reject the update.
Amen.
Don't get upset with the update. Just flow with the update. It's going to be better for you if you will accept the update.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. He said another reason is security. Glory to God. You need an update in order to improve security. Because hackers are always trying to find vulnerabilities. Oh, glory to God. I had a friend of mine, they didn't realize they was being hacked. Amen. They were on the computer. And you got to watch all these little gimmicks that people send you. Don't click on every email.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I can preach right there too. Don't just click on every email and don't respond to everything. Glory to God. Somebody's looking for a vulnerability.
Amen.
Oh, they're trying to infect you. They're trying to infect your computer. They're trying to steal information. You got to get secure. And so my friends, they didn't realize they had been hacked. And something said, click on this. They clicked on it. And they called some number after they clicked on it. And the man said, yeah, I'm here to help you fix your computer. And the man started going through and doing things. They said, wait a minute. This, I'm being hacked. I'm something going on. And so the wife started yelling, get off my computer. The man said, no, I ain't going nowhere. Get off my computer. Leave my computer. And she just busted with him and said, no. And then he said, don't turn it off. Don't turn the computer off. And so they called me on the phone. I said, turn the computer off. Turn it off real quick. Don't give them no more access.
Yeah.
But they didn't realize they were being hacked. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Sometimes, church, we don't realize people are hacking us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Glory. People are always looking for a vulnerability. So in an update, we actually try to secure.
Mm-hmm.
All the vulnerabilities.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you another thing that's going to be updated so you'll hear from my mouth. Amen. If you're not a member of Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, you're not going to be a part of all of our groups.
Yeah.
We got groups. We got people that's not a part of this church. It's going to be an update to the groups, the WhatsApp groups. And only people that are part of this church are going to be in the group. Amen.
Amen.
If it has Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, it's full. You understand?
Amen.
Now, if you want another group that you want to talk to people outside, fine. Nobody stop you from creating one. But Spirit and Truth Tabernacle gonna be for Spirit and Truth
Tabernacle.
Amen.
Amen.
That's an update.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
so security. Hackers are always trying to find vulnerabilities and ways to gain access into your application in order to cause chaos.
Yes.
Hold on.
Come on.
That's right.
Amen.
Or steal information.
Yeah.
Oh my.
So we have to secure something.
Yes.
Amen.
Secure the perimeter.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Come on.
Another reason why you need an update is for a better experience.
Right.
I'll go on a little deeper in that in a second. Another reason for an update is to fix the bugs in the system.
Right.
And now I don't know about you. I'm the one that I don't really like bugs. I'm going to try to get out of this real soon. But I don't really like bugs. I remember we went to South Carolina. We preached that tent meeting, and I was supposed to preach that Friday night, and then they changed it and put me on Saturday night, had Brother Smiley preach Friday night. Well, that Friday night, Brother Smiley was preaching, and all of a sudden a bug came from nowhere, and Brother Smiley just kept preaching. I said, oh, if that had been me, God already knew not to put me on Friday night, because if that bug come to me, I would have been, God, that's y'all. It's hard to preach like this. And the next night, God was so gracious, he sent a rain. And that rain came and pushed all the bugs away. Then I was free to preach. Look, I don't know about you, but I don't like bugs. And also, I don't like spiritual bugs. Bugs can be annoying. Preach to me. Amen. Even in software, bugs can be annoying.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A bug is an error that just keeps occurring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
We do this, we do that. A bug.
Yeah.
It's a flaw or a fault in a computer program or system that causes it to produce an incorrect or unexpected result. The bug causes it to behave in unintended ways. When you have a bug in your system, it causes the system to behave in unintended ways. But you know what? An update can help resolve the issue.
Amen.
Don't refuse the update.
Amen.
All right. Another thing about it, I was looking at this on a website. Why do I need an update? Update will fix any problems with software or hardware that were not detected before the product was released to the public. So an update will fix the problem, things that were not detected before it was released to the public. If you don't update, the computer could encounter those problems or be vulnerable to attacks. So it's important that we update. Spirit of Truth 2.0.
Amen.
Amen. Well, what needs to be updated? They ask the question. All software and hardware eventually needs to be updated.
Amen.
Can I go a little further?
Yes, sir.
Churches have to go through the experience of an update. It's to improve the experience. Glory to God. Amen. They say typically the only time software or hardware stops updating is when the related company goes out of business. And at 20 years, we ain't going out of business. We're doing more business. Glory to God. So in order for us to be ready for the next season, we all have to be ready to go through the
update.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory. Amen. It says, for computers, the operating system is one of the most frequent updated software. Other frequently updated programs include web browsers, office programs, hardware drivers, printer software. Oh, so other frequently updated programs include web browsers? Can y'all pull up John423.org? Just type that in and put that on the screen. Because you know what? Our web browser in Spirit of Truth 2.0 has an update.
All right. Amen.
And actually, it's what we call an upgrade. Because we're not going back to the old system.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Simba, I want to appreciate him. He has worked so diligently, amen, to get this up and running. Type that in and it should come up. But I want to just show y'all this because this will be something. We do have a few more things behind the scenes that we got to change. But for the most part, y'all going to see this. This is our new face. Okay. All right. It's still low. It's fresh. Sometimes when you have a new system like that, it takes a little while to load it to memory. Oh, y'all got it. Sometimes it takes a little time for things to load to memory. Our new face.
And you can go there by when you get home, john423.org. You can start just kind of playing with things. So the live stream, is that part working on that one?
No, that's not working.
Okay, all right, don't worry. I was gonna show them themselves. But that's an update. That's what you see as an upgrade to what we have. God bless you, Brother Simba. Thank you so much. Let me go a little further. Oh God, I have a little bit more than I want to share, but God knows. There's a difference in an update versus an upgrade. When the core system updates, like your telephone, it just forces your apps to update. Like you ever get that sometime at night, that little message that say, need to do an update. And you already know when you do that, if you got a whole bunch of apps, 70, 80, 100, every one of them apps gonna get impacted by that. All of them have to go through the same update in order to be compatible. Y'all think we?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to go through the other, then you won't be compatible. And you're just going to create problems. But in Spirit 2.0, we want everybody that's compatible. And you got to be willing to go through the update.
Amen.
That's what an update does. But an upgrade is when your phone stops working completely. And you might have a Galaxy 9, a Galaxy 10, or an iPhone 9, an iPhone 10. When you do an upgrade, you no longer using that old telephone. You're actually using a new version of the same phone. Hallelujah. All right, I didn't catch that, but I'll take that too. An upgrade in this season is no longer worshiping in Yale. An upgrade is to go to our new building. I received that from the Holy Spirit. Upgrading in Spirit 2.0. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
An upgrade is typically generated, and I think that when an upgrade is typically generated, it creates a new look.
Yes,
it does.
Updates sometimes can provide a visual change, but the upgrade gives a new look. This other thing here, amen, that I have, oftentimes updates are needed on computers because some applications don't work well together. Updates are needed on computers because some applications don't work well together. Some applications are what we call memory hogs. Help me look all this stuff up. I work in IT, so I know what I'm talking about. Memory hog want to take all the attention. Memory hog want to be front and center. That's a memory hog. Not making room for nobody else. Glory to God. And then some apps are memory hogs, leaving no room for others to operate.
Right.
And change is necessary. If the apps are going to coexist together.
Amen.
Spirit 2.0.
Amen.
15 minutes. I had something that I wanted to do here. So, and I don't know if I can do this in 15 minutes. I'm going to try. Lord knows. How did Brother Jack even get started in ministry? I want to tell you about 7 different instances that happened to me. That caused me to step out in this pastoral role. As all y'all know, I've been song leading for years at Low West Coast Church and just serve the Lord faithfully in that capacity. But there were 7 different times in my life that different people have come to me or said something to me that that kind of triggered that, hey, maybe you need to be looking at what else God has called you to. And one time we went to a meeting there in South Carolina. This was years ago. I was still at the West Coast Church, and me and my brother-in-law, Dexter, we drove to the meeting together. We were having a meeting, and they invited Brother Coleman from New York to come down and to minister and also share his personal testimony.
So the night that they were going to do the personal testimony, they said Brother Gibbs was the one that invited them to come. And the night he was going to do the personal testimony, he said, we want all the ministers to sit on the platform, you know, here to support Brother Cope and all the ministers. So, you know, I went to the service, and me and my brother-in-law walked up to the church. And we're walking up, Brother Fred Mullins happened to be standing there. I think at that time he was attending Brother Gibbs Church. And he was standing there at the door, and he looked at me, and not my brother-in-law. He looked at me and said, young man, are you a minister? I said, no, I'm not a minister. No. He says, okay, all right. I went on and sat down, but I'm like, why did he not talk to him? Why did he say that to me? Young man, you're a minister. I said, okay, no, all right. Well, years later, we were out there in Okeechobee. Again, at Brother Wesley's church attending, and Brother Smiley was a pastor, and Cap had me come up and sing a song or something like that, and I sung a special. And after the sermon special that night, Brother Isaiah Chisholm was preaching, you know, at the service. And I remember that service pretty, it's in my mind, because Brother Isaiah came out, he was preaching so, and he stood out in front, the microphone stand was standing there, and somehow he said, stand still, microphone, so I can preach. So I'm like, my God. So, but he was just preaching away, you know, preaching machine. And so after service, I'm standing there just greeting everybody, and Brother Isaiah walks up to me and says, brother, are you a minister? I said, no, I've just come here to sing a song. That's all. I'm not a minister. Like, you know. So I'm like, why does these brothers keep picking on me? You know. So that was the second. Then the third one, I was living in a townhome at the time. Me and my family were living in a townhome. And you know, they had this great circle. You know, and as a quad here, another quad here, another quad here, another quad back over here. So everybody parked in front, you know, of the home. So I'm over at this quad, and there's another lady at this quad over here. And I mean, way across the parking lot. So I'm there, and I parked my car. And one day I came home early from work, and it was like middle of the day I had to come home. And that lady, older lady, she was over there taking groceries out of the car, and I was, you know, getting out of my car and going. She said, young man. I said, yes, ma'am. And I walked over to her. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She said, young man. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you a minister? I said, no, ma'am. She said, I said, ma'am, I'm a Christian. I said, walked in her house and left me standing there. And I said, what do I do with this? I don't even know that lady's name. I don't know her name. She was just a neighbor that saw me at a distance. I said, Lord, you sure doing some things to me that I ain't used to. So I was went to my grandmother's church. We had a family and friends day, you know, one day, and you know, we would go in the afternoon and support grandma at a church, and we knew a pastor, Bishop John D. Alexander, and I went there, and I was standing there after the service was over. Grandma would always make us sing. We always, you know, grandma said, make that music. Get in there and make that music. So we'd always sing. That's just what we did when we went to grandma. You know, the whole family, they know what we're going to do. It don't matter where you're like that, what you're doing. Grandma, I just finished sitting. I don't care. And that's just the way it was. And even if you were married to the family, you were going to sing. So we go to the family day, friends and families, and we went out, you know, this one time, and we got up and we sung our song and sat on down and went on through the service. And after the service, I was standing in the middle aisle with my dad. And Bishop Alexander used to wear glasses. And he walked right up to me, put his glasses down, and looked over. He said, when are you going to do what God told you to do?
Lord.
I say, I'm serving the Lord. He said, no, I say, when are you going to do what God told you to do? I said, sir, I'm a Christian. He said, no. Mm-mm. I said, and he said right in front of my dad was a witness. So then he did something that had not been done. He told me, he says, look, young man,
He said, we got church on Wednesday night, I mean Friday nights. And he said, if you ever need a place to practice, you come to my church. He invited me to come to this pulpit to practice preaching. And I never even thought of nothing like that. But I'm like, God, I appreciate a man, because he's the same man that told me, say, something's going to happen in the church, and you're going to see it, you're going to want to jump all over it. But don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Just let that thing play out, and you ain't going to have nothing to do with it. And I've watched it happen. Sometimes I just be going through the motions. I'll be burning up on the inside. I don't say nothing. John Alexander, Bishop John Alexander, taught me that. I went to college. I finished my bachelor's degree. It used to be Northwood University over here. And now it's Kaiser, I believe, or something like that. I finished my college there, and I want to go into my master's degree. And when I chose the University of Phoenix, because it allowed me to do school online while I could still take care of my family. And at the same time that I was doing my master's degree, working full time, we started the church. So I remember, you know, I was there, and I was 33 years old at the time, and we had to stand before the class and talk. The teacher said we're going to do a 5-minute speech on a particular subject. Y'all going to study this subject. Y'all going to do a 5-minute speech on it, and I'm going to critique each one of you. So I'm standing there, in class, and just so happened the teacher that God gave me was a retired Lutheran minister. So we get in class, and we have to stand up, and we have to talk. We're standing there, we're talking. And I was first, he said, y'all want to do it now or y'all want to do it after lunch? I said, after lunch, we'll do it after lunch. I'm thinking this man gonna really rake me over the coals when I get up there. So we're gonna do it after lunch. He said, no. The rest of the class said, we want to do it now. So everybody got up there and did their 5-minute talk. I got up there, did my 5-minute talk, and I'm iffy with sitting like that. 5 minutes was 5 hours. I'm like, oh Lord, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just up there talking. And so after we finished, he said, Y'all want me to give y'all some critique now or after lunch? I said, after lunch, maybe you forget about some things. You can say it after lunch. And they said, so the rest of the class said, no, we want our critique right now. I said, So next thing you know, he went and he says, so-and-so, you need to do this, and so-and-so, you need to do that, and so-and-so, you need to do this. He says, and Jack, I said, oh, here it comes. He says, Jack, you a natural. I said, what? So Jack, you're natural. Just seemed like you're so comfortable up here. I was nervous and I don't know what. He said, look like you're just so comfortable. Just Jack, you're natural. I said, oh boy. Wasn't expecting that. So I went over to lunch and I come back in the room and I'm sitting down. Then one of the classmates, Captain Carr was his name. He was in the military in the Marines. And he says, Jack. I said, yeah. Yeah, Will. He says, Jack, anybody ever tell you sound like a reverend? I say, wait, man, I just finished talking business. You talking about I sound like a reverend? He say, yeah, anybody ever tell you sound like a reverend? I say, man, I'm just leave me alone. So one of the girls chimed in and said, yeah, when you was up there talking, I didn't know whether to say amen or not. So both of them in the same class, three in the mouth of two or three witnesses. All of them in the same class, she said, I didn't know what to say when you was up there. I said, I was up there for 5 minutes. She said, well, just something, you sound like a preacher. I said, okay. I said, y'all all right, thanks. Then he said, Jack. I said, what is it? Say, how old are you? I said, 33. Jack! How old was Jesus when he died? I said 33. He stopped talking to me. That meant I had to die to myself and accept this calling that God had given me. Last two I want to share with you was one of my own grandma, my grandma Hers.
One day she called me and she said, Jack, I gotta talk to you. You know, anytime grandma say something like that, you already know something to it. Jack, I need to talk to you. Yes, ma'am. Just didn't know about it before, and I need to talk to you in person. Oh my, yes, ma'am. So this Mother's Day, I believe it was, and grandma come to me, and we were going out to eat. She's like, Jack, what are you going to do for God call you to do? I said, oh, grandma. And she didn't realize that that day that she had told me that, if I recall correctly, it was a day that I had just finished preaching at a church. So I went to this church and I preached the message, give it, keep it, keep it, lose it. I went to my cousin's church and preached, and grandma had come to confirm. So you got to do what God called you to do. I said, grandma, I just finished going to the church, and I believe I'm doing it, grandma. Okay. She was so stern. See what happened? What got me to that church was the seventh occasion. And I'm winding up. I got 2 minutes and 43 seconds. I was going to fix a computer for my cousin. And as I was out there fixing the computer, let me just see something here. Give the scripture ready. 2 Chronicles 29:16. Just get that ready on the screen. I went to fix the computer for my cousin. And his name is my cousin Stan. Oh, glory to God. I'm trying to get here. But cousin Stan called me out to his house. And I went to fix his computer. And he was a Methodist preacher at the time. And while we were fixing the computer, you know, he's going to always talk church. The Lord had done something in his life, so he liked talking church. So he asked me that day. He says, that night I was there, he says, Jack, how was church yesterday? And at that time, I was going through so much in my life that I actually did not go to church. I didn't go to church. And I told him, I didn't go to church yesterday. I didn't go. He said, okay. And just kept talking. Then the next thing you know, I'm sitting there working on the computer. He said, you know what, Jack? God called me into the ministry. I said, I didn't go to church yesterday. You telling me God called me into the ministry? He said, yeah, God called me into the ministry. He began to share his testimony. He says, you know, when I started the church, he says, and this is what's ironic about it. He told me, he says, when I started the church, I started in a school, meeting in the chorus room. He says, sometimes I would go to church and just be me and my wife, and I would preach like the whole house was full. And at the end of preaching, I just start crying. He says, because I couldn't see how God called the ministry to have me in a situation like this. He says, I did it for 10 years. And then God began to add people. It says, and after God added, you know, some people here and there, you know, we built the church and we got the church established. And then in the Methodist organization just moved you around all over the place, wherever they want to move you. So he started going from place to place to place. But he was just sowing to me. And that night he took out a scripture and just read it. To Joshua 1, and I don't have time to read it. But Joshua 1, it says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And he began to share with me. And as he said, he told his wife, read. And as she would read, he would preach. Read. Next verse, he would preach. And he would just break that thing down. He says, at Moses, my servant's dead. He says, Brother Wesco is not dead. He's not dead. He's still living. He's still very vibrant and living. He says, but God is calling you from underneath this ministry, and you have to die to the influence. I say, Lord, I know you're speaking to me tonight. I was there till 2 o'clock in the morning. I text my wife and say, honey, I'm going to be home late. And when I got home and told us this just happened, at the end of that whole night, my cousin invited me and says, I want you to come to my church and preach for me. I'm like, man, I didn't go to church the other day, and you want me to come preach? So I gave him the Christian response. I'll pray about it. He said, okay, you can pray about it. But I'm going to be calling you in a few weeks. He called me in a few weeks and said, Jack, I want to know when you come to preach on it. I said, just put a date on the calendar. I said, I go preach. And at that time, I was already ministering to my family at home. And I remember the first sermon I took to this church is, you must be born again. And on that day that I preached, my auntie, who's a woman minister, happened to walk into the church that day. Didn't go to her church, but she came to, happened to come there. And I'm preaching. She said to the pulpit, "You must be born again." So after I finished preaching that service, I thought I was off the hook. He called me back and says, my church, they have a Mother's Day, and they wanted the preacher to come. And my church specifically asked for you to come. I said, "Your church want me to come?" They specifically asked for you. I'll come. And that's when I preached "Give It, Keep It, Keep It, Lose It." Seven different occurrences that God used people to get me to where I'm at. And when I look back, my cousin told me that night when he was at the house, he said, you have computers is your profession as a profession to take care of your family. He says, but God got greater things in store for you. I couldn't see it then. But today I can tell you, God has done the exceeding, the abundant, above all I can ask and thank you. Can I leave you with a scripture? 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 16 through 20. I got more I want to share in the sermon, and I'll bring it back next time I preach. Amen. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 16 says, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee that house for thy holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." I love this. All this store that we have prepared, the money that we have saved for the upgrade. All this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Verse 20. We always searching for them 20s. And David said to all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. Let's pray. Father, we're in awe of the things that you have done. We're in awe of the things that you are doing. We're in awe of the things that you will do. God, we thank you for this journey that you have taken us, and I believe that if we had time for each and every person here to share a testimony how they became part of this church, God, we would be so edified and rejoicing just to hear the testimonies of what you did. You didn't bring us together, Lord, just so we could see one another. But you brought us together so we can help each other make it. What good is it to fellowship together here on earth but not make it to heaven? God, our desire is that you would change us from the inside, that the word itself would produce the result that you were looking for. You told us, Father, and as we read in scripture, you're seeking people that will worship you in spirit and in truth. We want to be those people.
not just a church name, but a real place that we can find in Christ. God, I pray your blessings upon this group of people that you've assembled. We are a spirit of truth tabernacle. God, I realize if it had not been for them, then we would not be who we are. So many that you sent from so many places, different countries. You have established this. Except the Lord build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. God, continue to build this house and continue to watch over this place. We want you to have all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Thank you for the journey thus far. And let us be willing to go through the update. It's necessary for this next phase of ministry. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
To God.
To God. Thank you.